Well, hi, everybody. It's a snowy day here in Maine on December 17th, 2020. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio, now a part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's where we have all our podcasts archived. We have our schedule over there. You'll see the podcast icon. Please read our magazine, which is outlined in red, or read outlined in green, our online journal called Equity and Access. You'll love it if you read it. Join our consortium if you're a pre-K-12 educator or interested in that. It is free. Everything we do over there is free. We want your voice heard as we make equity happen in pre-K-12 education. ace-ed.org. We're going to continue a conversation we had with my good friend Julian Levin over at Northern Nival and for the principal of Walnut Grove Elementary School in Center Grove Community Schools in Indiana, Brian Proctor. And we're going to talk about the social-emotional impact of classroom design and furnishings and how that's working over there. I want you to go over, join our consortium, read our magazine, tweet with us over at EduTalk Radio. Have some fun with us. Jolene, are you there?
Hey, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. Where'd you get that accent? You're from Texas, aren't you?
Oh, well, I know. I mean, I'm working on the Texas accent.
It's not working.
Not very successful.
It's not working. Yeah. Stay with the Australian. Everybody thinks it's cooler. Okay. My buddy Jolene started in Australia, okay, along with Everon, her husband, and the kids, and now they live in Texas, okay, and they run Norva Nival U.S., that great furniture company. We do a lot of work with them, okay? And we got, coming back again, going to continue conversation, Brian Proctor. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, my friend. How's the weather there? Because it is a whiteout here of snow on December 17th here in Maine. How's the weather there in Indiana?
It's typical Indiana, the 1 to 3 inches. You'd think that we've had 4 to 5 feet. So it looks pretty, though.
Yeah, it is. Somebody said yesterday, they were talking to me from Seattle, and they said, enjoy your winter wonderland, referring to today's storm. And I said to them, I said, here in Maine, we drop the word wonderland. It's not a wonderland anymore. Okay, it's just a damn winter storm. Okay, and that's all there is to it. It's fun. Have you had a lot of snow out there? Seriously, over the
We haven't.
Something was going to hit last week. I know that, or something. Yeah.
Now, our first, at least in this area, our first measurable snow was Wednesday. So it was like an inch and a half. But, you know, kids need to see it. People need to see it. It changes. It's not the muddy, slushy stuff. Like, you know, that's the worst part of snow. So it's cold, but it looks pretty outside.
It's going to be a nice white Christmas right here. And you're in Bartlesville, if I'm pronouncing that right, Indiana. And tell everybody where that is, Brian.
That is located about 25 minutes south of Indianapolis. So on the way pretty much in between Indianapolis and Bloomington, Indiana. So we're right off 37.
Oh,
we're kind of
perfect.
Yeah, we're – yep.
That's pretty nice. And what's odd about Bartlesville, if I may, and I know this for a fact, is that even though the Colts are up a little north of you, you're big Patriots fans. Am I correct? Like I am.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
the whole town,
understand.
The whole town doesn't like the Colts. They love the Patriots. We'll have to talk about that. We're having a
terrible season. Not sure where you heard that.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard it somewhere. Jolene, tell us about Norva Nival before we get into this so people know where you're coming from, what the company is doing, and all that sort of thing. And it really is a cool company. Go check it out, everybody.
Thanks, Larry. Well,
you're welcome.
Really,
pal.
We are Norva Nival. We design educational furniture and spaces. Really, you know, for us, it's about people like Brian and working with them, and Larry, you know, bringing conversations like this to light that are really, really important around, you know, the really, you know, importance in creating spaces for kids that meet their emotional, social, and academic needs at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and it really is. And I want to say this, especially during this pandemic, okay, we're all going to get back to school soon, all right? And we've learned how important social-emotional is, the impact of that on kids. All right, and the more we can do when they get back to school, okay, to establish the right environment, the better off we are. I think I'm stealing some of the thunder of what we're going to be talking about. Okay, all right, but I really mean that. It's Norvan Nivel, just like it sounds, NORVANIVEL.com. And if you want to see, if you want to get in the mood for spring, just go over to the website. It opens up to a nice blue and green school. So it's really pretty cool. Okay, I got, it made me feel warmer than it is outside today, Jolie.
NorvanNivel.com.
It really does. Okay, now let's go back to Brian. Brian, we've had this conversation, but not everybody listening today listened to the first show. So let's talk about Walnut Grove Elementary, your school. Okay, just describe the school to us and the town, Bargersville, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
give us
so
demos.
Walnut Grove.
Yeah.
Walnut Grove is a school district with five other elementary schools, two middle schools and a high school campus, reaching about 10,000 students.
Mm.
Mixed variety of students with inside the Center Grove community. Obviously, the impact of the school actually started last fall when it opened up the doors to its community. The design of the building, very energy efficient. I was blessed to be on that design team with the architect, Mark Beebe.
Yep.
When we looked at the process of the school, from the educator standpoint, I looked at the procedures and the flow of students and how that space would impact kids. Mark brought in the brilliant ideas of color and design, and blending those two together created this structure that has received many awards. Like I mentioned on the previous podcast, it's not so much the beautiful building that we have here sitting in this community. It's how we use it and the furniture design that we coordinated with Norvan Nivel, which, by the way, I just caught on to how they created their name, and I'll have to joke around with Jolene on that later. Norvan Nivel's name. But we've been in session since day one of here in August. So when you mentioned, like, when schools get back in this session, and I mentioned it last time, we've been in a traditional setting since day one of August, which, you know, talking about all those different things, but the building itself is designed to be sustainable over time and to reduce the growth and the changes that typically come about with buildings. And so Norvan Nivel, when we partnered with them with furniture with inside the building, I had this vision of creating space that was moldable to whatever students needed at the time. We knew we couldn't create what kids needed in the future 20 years from now, but we knew that the space and the furniture would be adaptable to all those different changes and wouldn't be fixed to today's current reality happening down the road. So that's where we currently
reality
are today.
Changes. Reality changes all the time. It keeps you know, there's always a momentum to that, and you got to be ready for the changes. And I want to mention something else. Let me just go over here. If you go to centergrove.k12.in.us or just Google Walnut Grove Elementary School, okay, Indiana. There are a number of them. We're talking about the one in Indiana. You'll see a beautiful picture of the school, and they'll also talk about the architects. I just want to give them some credit, Lancer and Beebe, okay, and they did a beautiful job, and they won an award for this, and you'll see that all over there. Google Walnut Grove Elementary School, Indiana, and it'll all pop up. But you did all this, and I want to make sure one other thing. You said you've been back in school, regular school, since August. Did I hear that correctly?
Correct. Yeah, we have our traditional platform, which you know, normal everyday school, and then we also have a virtual platform for anyone who had elected to do virtual. So we've been in session 100%. You know, our secondary schools are blended in a hybrid 50% platform, but we're 100% here at school, and so it's been awesome.
Great.
Been a great journey, and just a lot of reflection that's happened during the course of this first semester.
And everybody's going to be like you are at some point when this vaccine takes hold, certainly by next September. Everybody's going to be back at school, all right? And I want everybody to realize the importance of classroom furnishings and making kids feel comfortable again and taking care of the social, emotional, et cetera. And Brian or Jolene, and you guys, I'm going to just throw this question out there. I'm just going to – a generic question, okay? Social, emotional, okay? It's a big deal right now. Brian, Jolene, I'll ask Brian first. What have you seen socially emotionally, if I may, the impact of the of your design choices for classrooms, et cetera, on the kids, and I might add on the teachers, and you can pass back and forth to Jolene if you want, but I'll start with Brian, who's the principal.
Yeah, from our standpoint in regards to creating that Agile campus, we look at engagement of students and staff, but you know, there's so many different things that are part of that, like how do you measure that, and how do you measure if a kid's truly engaged, and we look at discipline and all those different things in regards to student performance and work, even teacher productivity in terms of are they how they're connecting with kids, and all that goes back to the school culture,
yeah.
And how that school culture is greatly impacted by the social emotional piece. All the schools are constantly talking about social emotional, and we've seen a lot of variances that are happening with inside even a traditional class. Furniture and just space in general greatly impacts that, and not just having it, but purposely using it and saying, well, yeah, we got this beautiful stuff, but then in our actions, holding ourselves accountable to see the kids smiling and engaging with certain types of furniture, like, you know, we've mentioned before, you know, kids, our little guy that loves to create the train with
yeah.
the soft seated seating that we have, he's back and loving creating trains almost every single day. But that's part of his, you know, we let it happen, and we don't restrict that piece because it's part of his routine, it's part of his fixed mindset. So, you know, I know Jolene has some great stories as well, and that, like I said, that social emotional impact has many layers that you have to examine when you open a new campus, but any campus in general.
Yeah, and you know, I just before we swing over to Julian, I just got to say, you know, it reminds me when I was in school, just a little kid about 12 billion years ago. Okay, that it was the exact opposite in school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the furniture wasn't rigid; you could move it around, but we rarely did. Okay, and the whole idea was to be very uniform. All right, and this is Philadelphia Public Schools. All right, and it's interesting when you said what you just said about, you know, and you could multiply that by a bunch of kids, how the furniture needs to reflect the kids and give them movement and choices and all that sort of thing. It's a whole different world. I'm just so glad it is. Okay, Jolene, talk about this for a second at Center Grove, but I also want you to talk about, you've talked about other schools where you have seen, Jolene, a social-emotional impact from the choices of furnishings in classrooms and the design of classrooms. Okay, so go for it. Go for it, Mrs. Levin. Go for it.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I completely agree with Brian. I mean, you know, first and foremost, over this year, I think the biggest aha moment in education has been the fact, you know, that, you know, it's brought to light the fact that equity in school is very important. And kids coming back into these learning environments and really being able to, you know, find it inside these spaces is even more important. You know, for us, Larry, it's not just about the pieces of furniture that sit inside the spaces, but it's how, like Brian keeps on saying, the actual space works to support the culture that exists within the school. You know, the way that the way that the teaching happens in there, the way that the interactions happen in there. You know, that's where space really, really does matter, because it does facilitate very emotional and deep interaction inside an environment. And there's nothing more important than the spaces in which we learn, and kids
mm-hmm.
spend most of their time there. So it is really critical that, you know, there are people like us and working with schools like, you know, Santa Grove, Walnut Elementary, and people like Brian Proctor and Mark Beebe and, you know, all the other people out there that are really trying to make intentional change to make sure that we create environments that really do speak to kids on a very deep emotional level, you know, taking into consideration everything they need in those environments to make them comfortable, feel safe and connected and healthy, and therefore really engaged and open to being, you know, to wanting to learn.
You are so right. I was writing down as you said that, you know, we've got to not only support the culture of the school, okay,
mm-hmm.
and the social-emotional side of the school, we've also got to support the learning side, okay? And, you know, we can make trains of the furniture all we want, but the furniture, the furnishings, have to be conducive to learning, Okay, and Brian, I'm going to swing back to you. You saw all this. You worked with your architects. You worked with Jolene at Northern Nival. Okay, why did you think, and this is an interesting thing, and I don't know whether you were ever even trained in it. Why did you think this would be good for the kids? What'd you look at? What'd you think about? Put that process into words. It's an interesting thing.
Just to kind of give a quick snapshot of I entered a building here in the district that's one of the oldest buildings, and I'd followed some, you know, three previous principals that had been there for an extended period of time. And so my first leadership position had followed a gentleman who was phenomenal. He'd been in that building for 33 years.
You're talking about Walnut Grove or another school?
No, I'm talking about North Grove where I started.
North Grove, okay.
Great school, great community. And it's here in Center Grove as well. You know, as a young administrator, I was always in tune to adjusting my teaching to what students were needing at that time when they'd come into my classroom. It's not something that we were taught necessarily in college. I went to IU, give my Hoosiers some credit, but it was those connections that I made with kids. And so when I came from North Grove and I started looking at design inside the building, I hadn't been selected as the principal yet, but they'd invited me to attend some of these furniture showcases, some large ones. And so going to them, and I started investigating mindset and some Carol Dweck work and a lot of the different things that impact me as an educator and what I do as a principal, but more importantly, what I transfer and what I create in terms of the foundation of my school with my staff. And so those pieces in terms of why selecting certain furniture really did come back into mind and into that foundational work that I did in regards to just looking at kids and what kids need and how to make that paradigm shift with what, a traditional environment creates this belief that we're supposed to know what kids need and want, where in reality we have to balance that with what kids are actually asking from us. And at that time, and so we had to get past that fixed, rigid, here's my desk, and we all faced the same direction, and we all did the same thing, and we turn our paper in the same way, and we sit a certain way in the seat, and that equity piece had to come back around and say, no, I'm doing this wrong. Maybe I wasn't doing it wrong, but I'm doing what I need to do because this kid needs this. And so, you know, that was happening before a lot of the furniture showcases had furniture that could allow you to do some of those things. So, you know, running into Northern Ivel's first show, their first workshop or their first conference, I guess mm-hmm. I'd seen them, I instantly knew right then and there that their pieces and their design, not knowing their full story, was exactly what I had been feeling as an educator and then obviously as a leader, what I wanted and needed in this school, because I saw kids needed it.
Nice.
Not because of me personally, but because I'd experienced kids learning, seeing it, so...
That was nice. I like that, and I'm curious about something else, Brian. And you, again, you're an educator. You really are. It's built into your DNA. I can tell from your voice. Okay, and I'm serious, and that's a compliment. Okay, so you see kids all the time. You see them interact with the various things and all that. But when you saw Northern Nival, I think it was at Ed Spaces, if I'm remembering correctly. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I remember the big conference, okay, put on by the Education Market Association. I'm curious, you go back and you talk to your architects, but then, of course, the school board, which represents the people of the community, has to approve any budgeting. And I'm curious as to the reaction of the school board, or at least their budget committee, whatever, when you said this is the kind of furniture that will work. What was their reaction? Because, again, they're not in school every day like you are. What was their reaction?
Yeah, you know,
and I'm
the
sure they're wonderful. I don't mean to.
I'm just
looking how they approach this, because it's different for them. They're not professional educators.
Our process was different to begin with. When they asked me to be part of this and gave me the entire year, they basically said, "Here's your budget. You need to allocate for the paper clips to the furniture for this building." And so, you know, they had sent me and trusted, you know, blessed for that opportunity because not many people have that. They go to the architects, and the architects, you know, use their design pieces with certain furniture companies, where I, as the building principal, basically said, here's your budget. So rolling this out, you know, to the school board and stuff wasn't an approval process. They basically said, here's what you have to spend. We trust your vision in terms of what you see and how you want to grow your students. Yeah, and so I didn't have to go through that approval process, which that's typically where sometimes some of the holdups come, because it's like, oh, that may be too futuristic, or that may be too that's just a lot different than what we've currently done. And in my situation, I had the opportunity of saying, hey, here's what I've researched and here's what I've come across that I believe by my interactions with the different companies and seeing the growth and change happening in education will best meet the needs of students today and then down the road. Not yesterday, but today and down the road.
That's pretty cool. And what was their reaction then? When they and they're wonderful. Please understand that. But now you've done this, okay? And I know Norvin Ivel's furniture very well. What was their reaction? Because most of them grew up in a different environment, okay, of what a school looks like. Now suddenly they're seeing a modern, environmentally correct, social, emotionally based, beautiful furniture. What was their reaction when they saw that?
You know, just watching people walk through the space, both school board members and staff, or parents and staff. I mean, I think you could tell by just the joy and the smiles on kids, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, their reaction comes from knowing that their kids enjoy and appreciate the space more than anything. And I think that's where when we talked about the space, you know, when kids are happy and they're loving school, then you just have to go with trusting what kids are happy about. Not so much like, oh, that looks a lot different, but that's probably where they're, you know, as far as like expressing their love of the building and things like that, you know, it's a brand new building and I'd hope people would love it. And there's always changes you can make, but I think the true reactions really come from when kids walk into this building and see the space and the furniture that supports them, that you see it, the smile that goes from ear to ear.
And that's actually a good question. I've talked to Jolene many times about this. What is the reaction of the kids? And you can go from kindergarten to what grades are you at the school?
We go from kindergarten to fifth grade.
That's what I thought. Okay. So, you know, there's a big difference between a fifth grader and a kindergarten kid. So what are the reactions of the kids as they see this?
You know, at least in our setting, the kids like lay on this furniture. They sit on it. They sit on the ground. They rock
back and forth. That's great.
You know, I don't know a classroom of kids that you don't have 25 different needs, and they see the space. They recognize the space. They take ownership of the space. So,
that's,
you know.
Cool.
Kids in the upper grades, they have small group space, and they have standing tables, and they have the soft seat they can sit on. They have a campfire setting that they can collaborate on. They have different modalities that allow them to support what they need at that time, and it's constantly changing all day, every day. I mean, like, what you see today is completely different than what I would have seen yesterday.
It's amazing. And one last component of that, I want to go back to Jolene in a minute, but Brian, the teachers. Okay, now, teachers, you know, all right, kids, face forward. I'm going to talk to you now, but now you've got kids laying down, making trains, having a good old time. Well, how do the teachers adapt? How do the teachers adapt to that?
Yeah, so especially this year, since we want to make sure our teachers stay safe distance away from students, we still use our pods of students in the classroom that are 6 feet apart, but teachers use all four corners of their classroom in terms of having kids move in terms of the voice amplification and instruction, which we've learned is a great teaching tool, not always facing the same direction, but speaking from different corners of the classroom. In the process, our teachers have removed their teacher desk and utilized all perimeter space because they've realized that, you know, we take away a large portion of classroom design because of our own personal space. And so, you know, teachers, you know, the common space where it has a lot of our Norvin Ivel campfire settings and things like that, it's a mix of one-on-one or small group of four or five. So, like I said, it's a constant free flow of, you know, needs of students, and kids can use that space independently if they need a brain check or something like that. So, like I said, it's really transformed how we've taught or how we might have been in a traditional setting to even seeing the joys in teacher in terms of like how they maximize that all space inside their classroom.
And one last question, questions keep popping in my head. All these things are wonderful that you're saying, but I will bet you, I'm going to ask you, let's talk about academics. As the environment becomes so conducive to learning, have you seen an increase in student engagement, better grades, better discipline, however you want to approach that? What's the positive outcome of this besides those happy faces?
Yeah, so, with Norvin Ival, with Jolene, and just having good conversation with her even outside of just podcast.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, it's awesome because, like, their vision kind of, enhances my thought process or what I reflect on.
Nice.
And that's one of the things that I've discovered in this process, like, how do you measure all these different things? Like, we use a program called Panorama. It's used to measure social-emotional health of our students, our parents,
mm-hmm.
our staff. We've traditionally always I've always been in environments where I've seen lower school discipline, and that's a lot to do with like how we address student needs within the school culture in the classrooms. You can look at teacher retention, you can look at mental health, you can look at all the healthy social interactions, but it's really the process of what we do and how we do what we do comes down to our actions and not just our words. And so what I've been saying is we have to slow down in order to do better. And we need to stop and breathe for a second because we've become so focused on the standardized testing, the teacher evaluations, the school accountability.
Yeah.
And with all that focus, it's resulted in this shift to like, oh, high stakes and perfection. And what we need in the kindergarten environment through fifth is a refocus back on that social and emotional health of our students, but also our staff. And so, and when that happens and what I've seen happening in that process this year in terms of like what we're doing differently this year is looking at the student care and looking at staff care and that space and those furniture pieces are part of that. And so slowing down to do better produces higher results in the end instead of just cramming and pushing and pushing and pushing and doing it this way and doing it this way. And so a lot of reflection has caused a lot of internal reflection within my staff, and we're seeing what I believe is greater outputs because of it.
I think that's wonderful, and I was going to ask you what's next on the horizon for Walnut Grove, but I think you just answered the question. And the answer is just reflect, okay, on what you've done and make that work. Is that the answer, or do you want to add more?
No, I'd say moving forward. I mean, moving forward, we have to really learn to stop and slow down for a second.
Yeah.
We try so hard to hit this line, and in the process, we might have missed that social emotional piece or what we do in the classroom for engagement. A K-5 kid doesn't remember which test he took in fourth grade or your second grade. He remembers how he felt in that process. And so how do we get that high quality output and not sacrifice the academic excellence that we have here in Center Grove? But my understanding and reflection this year has really been to move forward, we need to stop and slow down.
Hear, hear. And I think the next step is to convince your middle school principal that they need to make a change in the environment too. So they can see this, who I'm sure is a good friend of yours. Jolene, I got to ask you a question. You heard all that Brian said. You there, Joe? Jolene?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And you heard all that. I'm curious, okay, and it was such a nice compliment to your company and all that, but I'm curious, when you hear that sort of stuff, and you're constantly, I know you, and Everard, you're constantly designing stuff, okay, what goes into that design mentality? How do you create something that you know is going to work like this? That's a tough question, but what's the creative process that allows you to do this and make it work so well, and it does?
For us, Larry, we take this really seriously. We feel like we're here to hopefully, be able to take what we know, understand, and our skills, and be able to create something that's going to be a benefit to every single child, you know, in every single school around the world. I think for us, you know, our process is this understanding that, like, whatever we design and create in the spaces that we you know, that we look to design, they've got to deliver on every level. So it has to be functional. We have to think about the feeling, you know, of the kids inside these spaces. When we do our research studies, and we've done a few over the years, of, you know, 11 years of doing this, the number one thing that comes out for every single child is that feeling of being comfortable in a space. And if we can help kids feel comfortable inside a learning environment and heighten their levels of engagement and, you know, add positively to the way that they feel and develop and the soft skills that they can develop within that space, you know, and help them come out as curious individuals, collaborative learners, lifelong learners. And kids that have had the opportunity to be able to, you know, this sense of taking ownership over your space, it's got a real meaning and a message for kids. You know, if you allow them to feel like they own that space around them, it definitely changes the way that they learn and the way that they absorb information, and then, you know, how they feel towards themselves within that environment. It's a very real feeling. It's a very real impact. You know, we have been blessed to have seen this happen over the years. And
yes,
how we draw our inspiration is by people like Ryan, honestly, listening, learning, observing. You know, we're lifelong learners ourselves. We're continuously seeking, you know, what we need to do to make it better.
Right. Jolene, I got to ask. So you're designing a 2021 collection, however you want to say that. Okay. When you look at all the stuff you've done, okay, what would be a change you would make in furnishing? You're always designing stuff. What would that change for the next set, if there was one? You know what I mean.
You know, I think it just builds on itself. I mean, you know, as like I said, as we discover more, so we might pivot and change. You know, as we understand, for example, you know, understanding the impact that movement has on engagement and on focus, that's something real to consider when you're designing in a space that requires that to be, you know, high on the agenda. So these are the things that we try and understand and then incorporate into our designs. Feedback from, you know, the educators that are living inside these spaces. You know, we really, at the heart of everything we do, we want to create really functional, livable spaces that can see schools well into the future. You know, that's part of the design as well.
You do just what you say you're going to do. You do create it, okay? I got to tell you, your stuff's amazing. And, Brian, I got to ask, can you hear me, Brian? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yep.
Oh, cool. I just want to make sure my mic was operating. Okay, I have a question for you, okay? You did all this. You did a great job, a beautiful job. You learned all this stuff. Would you have done anything differently? Maybe bought more furniture.
Yeah.
Maybe bought more furniture. I don't know. But
I think what I would have done differently in the process was, you know, brought the kids' perspective more into our pilot. We did a lot of pilot design work inside the district, and you know, you kind of get lost in that translation of, okay, asking teachers over and over, like, does this work? Does this work? Does this work? And I think as I've talked with other school corporations that have come in to visit the building, that's what I keep telling them, like, don't be afraid to take the time to get the student feedback, because they're the ones that are using it more than the actual educator themselves. And so, you know, that's been my message, but, you know, it's one of those things where now I look at it and I'm able to communicate that with those new projects that are happening across the state and across the country.
That's a cool. What I must ask, okay, what have you heard from the kids? I know you've seen it, but you've obviously heard something. Give us an example of what you heard from the kids. That is great, because we're dealing with such young kids, but yet if we listen to them, we're going to learn stuff. I love this. What did you hear? That's great.
Yeah, so the funny thing is my classrooms have a mix of, you know, just various seating with inside the classrooms, but
of course.
kids don't like the fact that they have to, they don't have a selection when it comes to all that's left is a standard chair. And so we have standard chairs, but we also have stuff that have rockers and things like that, you know. And so the standard chair is not one that they like, and they do not like just a standard traditional desk. Well, I don't have any standard traditional desk with inside our right. They do wish we would have had more seats that have artificial turf. I have a tree in my building that has a huge platform with artificial turf. Then we have the grassy ottomans from North and Nival. They feel that we need more of that sensory material.
You know, that is so funny. It's kind of like musical chairs where you play the music and you stop and there's only one chair left. That is hysterical. What a great insight from the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The best part, by the way,
Jolene, I love that. Grassy chairs, the sensory type of furniture. I love that. Thank you.
So coat them. Yes. So there you go. There you go, Jolene. Send us some material that we can put over some of these hard
that
seats.
That is hysterical.
Gladly. I've got things for you, Brian. Don't you worry. I will take care of you.
But that is such a cool thing. It's something an adult would even think of.
We cut carpet. We cut carpet in some situations for kids to use because of a sensory piece. And so, they just don't like the hard plastic anymore.
I got to tell you. Go ahead, Joe. You were going to say something. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's not surprising. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, what kid wants to sit in a plastic chair all day? Like, nobody.
Hey, I did it when I was a kid, except it was a wooden chair. Okay, and it was very uncomfortable on my tushy, but we sat in it all day.
That's called compliance. We were teaching compliance right there. We were teaching,
And back in the day, believe me, they weren't asking us for our opinion, so I suggest the educators you ask the kids. Okay,
Jolene made that word about allowing kids to choose their space, and that's that paradigm shift. We have to encourage and promote and challenge kids to use those spaces so that they find what works best for them. That was the proverbial transition that we saw happening.
Wow, that's just great, guys. We got
to
go.
Go ahead, Larry.
Can I just add that for a second?
That's a very powerful message, what Brian just said, allowing kids to be able to, like, use the space. It's okay for them to fail in it as well, because that's a part of their learning, and that's something that we encourage in educational environments, you know. And that's the best way for them to know what works best for them and what doesn't, and how to actually, you know, there's a certain amount of compliance we all need in any environment, and they're going to learn that, and it's okay for them to sometimes get it wrong.
Right, that fail-forward mentality.
Exactly.
Failing is one of the greatest lessons we can learn in education. I think we've all learned that over the years, okay, that it really does matter. And I'll tell you, you guys just think it through. It's Northern Nival, everybody. It's great stuff. Brian, we'll do more. Okay, I love having you on, man. It's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you both. And both of you, happy Hanukkah, Jolene.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're what, day eight? Are we in day eight now? Is it day eight or is it over now?
We've got one more to go.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, that's what I thought. All right. And do you get a Merry Christmas? Is that right, Brian?
I do, after tomorrow. So we have our 2-week break, and maybe we'll have about 18 feet of snow.
That's what Santa's looking for. Just remember that. Okay?
Correct,
snow. Absolutely. That's why I'm thrilled we're getting the snow here. Okay? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy whatever. And happy Hanukkah. Okay? Thank you both, guys. Take care.
Thanks, have a great day,
Larry. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Larry.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. My good pal Jolene Levin from Northern Nival, okay, NORVANIVEL, and Brian Proctor. Google this: Walnut Grove Elementary School. It's in Indiana, a town called Bargersville, okay, just south of Indianapolis. All right, where they obviously root for the Patriots. That was a joke. All right, we'll archive the show over at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Join with us for equity, ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening.